It's good to be here this morning. Very much have enjoyed the song service thus far and the fellowship that we've had already. And definitely do beg an interest in your prayers the time I'm before you. See several familiar faces and some new faces. It's always a blessing to be able to come among the Lord's people and see people you haven't seen before, and yet you're still family and no strangers among us. So we're thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to spend just a few moments this morning looking at the 18th chapter of 1 Kings towards the end of that. But as you turn, we'll give a little bit of a background of what has transpired up until this point. Here in this 18th chapter, we have Prophet Elijah. And at the beginning of the 17th chapter, Elijah sort of springs on the scene out of nowhere. Elijah the Tishbite is before King Ahab, and he announces that it's not going to rain across the nation for many years. And then the Lord tells him to hide himself away. He goes and he is commanded to go by the brook Kereth. And the Lord, he commands the ravens to feed him. They feed him meat twice a day. He has fed very nicely. And he has the water by the brook to drink. And then it begins to dry up, and the Lord tells him to get up and to go into the land of the Zidonians. He was in the land of the enemies. But there was a widow woman that he had commanded to sustain him there. And as he arrives there, he finds that widow woman. There is a barrel of meal, and there is some oil in the cruse, and it's just enough for them to make cakes for the widow and her son, and she said they're going to make them and then they're going to die. And Elijah tells her to make first for him and then for them. That's a beautiful lesson of giving first fruits to the Lord. But she does so, and they are blessed that meal and that oil does not run empty for many days, it tells us. After a period of time, her son dies, and she is very distraught. And then we have Elijah who comes. He takes the boy up in his arms, up into a loft, lays and prays over him three times, and the Lord brings his soul back to him. Then we come to the 18th chapter. He's commanded by the Lord to go to Ahab. And so this time, as we find out, that it's 3.5 year period that there has been no rain. They have this drought and they have this famine that's going. And it's a judgment, because Ahab, we are told that he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all the kings that came before us. He stirred the Lord to wrath more than all the kings that were before him. His wife Jezebel came from the daughter of the king of the Zidonians, and she ordered all the prophets to be killed. And we have Obadiah who hid them away and fed them. So as Elijah comes, we have Ahab and Obadiah who have gone out and they swore to split ways. Now they're not looking to try to find food for the people. They're looking for grass for the horses and the mules. And Elijah comes up on Obadiah. Obadiah bows himself down to Elijah. Elijah says, "Go get Ahab." And Obadiah is fearful to do so because they've been seeking Elijah. They've been looking to find him and slay him. But at Elijah's word, at the Lord's command, Obadiah does so. And Ahab comes out. He comes to Elijah. First thing he's doing is accusing him of being a troublemaker. He said, are you the one that troubleth Israel? And Elijah turns around and says, "No, it's on you." It's very similar to what Nathan tells David, "Thou art the man." Well, he tells Ahab, Elijah's going to give Ahab a command. "Gather all the people and all the prophets of Baal, all the prophets of the grove, and bring them to me. Bring them to Mount Carmel, where they go." And amazingly, Ahab does. And they come there, and there's going to be a little bit of a showdown. Elijah is rebuking the people of that nation and telling them to make a choice. If you're going to be with God, if he's God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. And so you have 450 prophets of Baal and you have Elijah. And they are going to, he allows those prophets of Baal, he's greatly outnumbered. He said, y'all can go pick a couple of bullocks. Pick which one you want. Dress it, make ready, offer it to your God. And put it on the altar with there being no fire under it. And then pray to your God. He will do likewise, and whichever one consumes it with fire, that is God. So those prophets, they do it, and they put on quite a show. Yeah. They start in the morning, they go all day long until evening. They're dancing, they're hopping up and down on the altar, they're cutting themselves, and they're silent. So now Elijah, he's mocking them in the process. Now Elijah comes up. He doesn't use one of their altars. He takes one of those altars that had been broken. He repairs it with 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. He gets it all ready. He dresses the bullock. He cuts it. He prepares it. And then he asks them to fill 4 barrels full of water. They had also dug a trench around. And they pour that water. It goes on the offering, on the wood. It falls down, fills up the trench. Do it another time. Do it another time. 12 barrelfuls of water. And then he prays to the Lord, and that fire comes down. It consumes the altar. It consumes the wood. It consumes the stones. It consumes the dust. And the people finally bow down and recognize the Lord is God. And those prophets of Baal, 450 of Baal, 400 of the grove, are put to death. And then Elijah goes back to Mount Carmel. And this is all that build up is right here. No rain for 3.5 years. And he's praying to God and he says, at your command that he's done these things. This is not Elijah going off road. This is what the Lord had commanded him to do. And so he's going up. So as we come here to the 41st verse, it says, then Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. So Elijah, we've seen this miracle performed. He is out there as representing the Lord, that they see that the Lord is God. And now we see him bowing himself down to the God on high. He is prostrating himself where his head is between his knees. He is completely folded up, bowing down to God. And he is praying here, but he says to his servant, in the 43rd verse, said to the servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. What is Elijah doing? He's praying to God. Just as he prayed that the rains would cease, he is praying for their return here. If we go to, we'll come back. You can keep your finger right there. We'll come back. But we'll go to the 5th chapter of James. We get a little highlight here of that emphasizes on what's happening. Starting with the 16th verse, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm sure we've all heard that. And then it gives you an example right after it. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. So pay attention to that. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Now, this was at God's command. This was God's will. He was judging that nation for turning their back on him. It was a judgment that they would not have the rain. And then when they once more bowed down to God, the rain was going to return. And Elijah was this vessel that was used by God. And he prayed for the rains to cease. They ceased. He prayed for them to return. They returned. Elijah was a great prophet. He is, if we look at the Old Testament, you have the law, you have the prophets. And we see representatives that are kind of the pictures of those. Moses is kind of that representative of the law. Elijah of the prophets. And we see this on Mount Transfiguration. But Elijah had a gift of prophecy. He also had a gift of prayer. But that gift of prayer is not specific or unique to the gift of prophecy. That gift of prayer that he had, that he could pray, that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that was an effectual. It means it had an effect.
Yeah.
It's a gift. But then it says, was a man subject to like passions as we are. That gift that he had was not unique to the gift of prophecy, was not unique to Elijah. That is a gift that you have today. You have a gift to be able to pray to God and he hears you. You have a wonderful blessing that you have a direct communication to God Almighty. And he hears you. And he answers prayers. Now, is it always on our timeline? No. What happened there with Elijah? Go and look. There's nothing. Go back 7 times. Pray continually. What is it? What are we commanded? To pray without ceasing. He is continually praying. He goes back 7 times. We are to continue in prayer. It is effectual. It has an effect. It is not going off into the void and just being in some sort of black hole where it disappears. God hears you. Say, well, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. Well, guess what? That's covered in the Bible too. It tells us in the 8th chapter of Romans. Even though we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercessions for us. Guess what? God knows. He anticipated that. We may not know how to pray or what to pray. The Spirit makes intercessions. And he even gave us a model of how to pray. We have an outline. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So first, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Raised above all. The first thing we do in prayer is recognize the greatness of God. Recognize and hallow his name. Put it above everything else. We pray that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Guess what's not in heaven? Sin. Violations of God's will are not in heaven. God's will is done in heaven. Pray that it's done here on earth like it is in heaven. But we see what give us this day our daily bread. That is, I think, a beautiful, beautiful lesson. We pray continually and pray for what we need this day. Elijah, he wasn't praying when he was there with the widow. It's like, well, in a year from now, could you make it rain? No, he prayed for that day. Give us this day, our daily bread. It's a gift of being able to pray to God. So Elijah He's praying continually. Go back seven times. What about this? Well, I'm just so small and insignificant that I don't want to bother God with my problems. I don't want to worry, bother, because I feel silly about it. Well, let's go to Luke, the 18th chapter. I promise I'll go back to where I said I was going to go back. 18th chapter of Luke, we are given a parable here. Jesus, and we'll start with the first verse because you can see what it says. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Okay? That men ought always to pray. So here's the parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. This is a parable of the unjust judge. So this judge has this woman that just keeps on bothering him over and over and over. And he is just wanting to ignore it and not care about it. But she won't leave me alone, so I will avenge her just to get her to stop and leave me alone. So that's the unjust judge. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? God is a just judge. You are not wearying him. You are not wearying him at all. This is just a small problem. You go to him with your small problems. You go to him with it, with whatever you need. You pray to God. You have that direct line, that gift of prayer. He is not an unjust judge that gets wearied by it. He is a just God. So now we go back here to Elijah, that servant, seven times. Go back, check over and over and over. And seven times, that beautiful number of completeness, says it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariots, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Now, put that in context. He's going seven times. There's nothing, there's nothing, there's nothing. And then he sees a small cloud the size of a man's hand. There wasn't even clouds in the sky. There wasn't enough moisture in the sky to even create those clouds. And just a small, tiny cloud. And he said, get up. So the rain doesn't stop you. Now, if we were to look outside and it was completely clear and there's maybe one tiny cloud, you'd go, whoa, man, rain's coming. Wouldn't think that. But that little cloud, get thee up, the rain doesn't stop you. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. One, power of prayer, the importance of prayer. And it says God answers prayers. Sometimes it may be immediately. God consumed this offering. Boom, there's fire. There it goes. Sometimes it may be over and over and over that you pray and eventually you see it. Sometimes the answer is just no. You know why? Because the answer needs to be no. But he is answering. He is responding. He is hearing your prayers. And then, second point I want to make to you is, even when it is a small little cloud the size of a man's hand, don't discount the great blessing from God, because that little cloud can become a great rain. Now, there's plenty of examples that we can give. I'll give you an example with religion, because this is talked about in James as well. He's comparing you some of the religious people that day, that what they wanted, vain repetitions, to be seen by men. And that was religion to them. But he's rebuking them, because it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What a small thing it can be to visit somebody. It may not take much time. Or make a phone call to someone who is sick, fatherless, widow, someone sick, someone that's not able to be at church because of one reason or another. Give them a phone call. Visit them. It's a small thing. I mean, how many hours do we have in a day? How many minutes do we have in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year? Talking a very small portion. It's a little clock here. But yet that is called pure religion and undefiled. How much of a blessing is it to make those calls and make those visits? I'm not just talking about the person that receives the call either. You receive a great blessing in it as well. It is a small thing, but it can have such an amazing impact. You have the one that's been sitting at home and may be getting a little bit depressed, thinking that it's just struggle and turmoil all the time and nobody cares, and then they get a phone call. I love you. I'm thinking about you. What, can we pray together? And that means the world to them. It's a small thing, but there can be some great rain from it and great blessings from it. What about, we have creation itself. What was there? There was nothingness. Earth was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. There was God. And then God said that there wasn't this big explosion and all these things that went into. God said. And what happened? A response. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So, words. Words are such a small thing, but they can have a huge impact. Go back to James again. He talks about the tongue, a small member of your body, but yet it can control your whole direction. What you say, the words that come out of your mouth, can have such a big impact. That tongue, it can be for a negative, but there can be positive. There can be great rain. We can look at history itself. We can look at history of our church. We can look at the translation of the Bible itself. We look at men like Wycliffe that stepped out when their lives were threatened and they translated a book. and that changed a nation. That helped propel the creation of a nation. Because this nation was founded on the Word of God. It is one nation under God. Pray that it stays that way. Small thing, but a great reign. We shouldn't overlook or discount the small things. Pray without ceasing and be thankful for those small things. Have we stopped in our lives to think of the blessings that we receive every day, every moment? You know, it's easy sometimes, and I'm talking to myself here as much as anybody. It's easy to get comfortable. You get comfortable in a situation. And you're comfortable, so it's easy to stay or overlook certain blessings. Give us this day our daily bread. Those Israelites there in the wilderness, they were blessed with daily bread. Manna that came from heaven. Food that fell down like rain on the earth. That they were able to gather and eat. How amazing is that? And what happened after a time? They got sick of it. Tired of eating the same old thing again. Instead of looking at how blessed they were. That widow woman that we talked about. That meal and that oil were there day after day after day. And I've said this at Gompon, that I don't believe that they went and that barrel was overflowing. I believe there was what they needed for that day. He supplied that daily bread. And then her son dies, and she is grieving, and that is understandable. But then she is questioning God. She is questioning Elijah. Instead of seeing how greatly, she was ready to make the one last meal and die. But then she had been blessed many days, and she got to the point that something bad happened, and she's like, why God? It's easy to get comfortable. How many of us drove here today? Were you all alone on the road, or were there some other cars driving by? Now, can you go out there and pick up your vehicle and carry it around? No, it's pretty massive machine, isn't it? We have this big, huge machine that we're driving down the road coming inches from other vehicles, and we're here. It's easy to take that for granted. That's a blessing each and every time. We look up in the sky, there's massive machines flying in the clouds. I mean, we tell our ancestors that would happen, they think we're crazy. We got these massive machines flying in the clouds. And vast majority of the time, they reach their destination safely. What a blessing. And if they don't, then people say, how could God let this happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why in the world do good things happen to bad people? The Lord is such a gracious Lord that He blesses, that He protects us even when we take our feet off the ground and are flying in the sky in a machine. It's easy to take that for granted. we should be thankful and thank God continually and not overlook those blessings. And I tell you, in a church, in a city, in a nation, in a household, you can be a little cloud too. Just by standing up, just by teaching your kids, making your household centered on God, centered on the Word. Maybe a small thing. We're just going to say a prayer before we eat. We're going to read a little bit in the Bible before we go to bed. Little things. But how much of an impact does that make? The great rain. All of you, and when we have a lot of kids here, and I love to see that. But all of you are examples. You kids, there are probably other kids that are also looking at you, and there will be more people looking at you as you get older. You're an example. Whether you want to be or not, people see you. And we can be a good example or we can be a bad example. If you are a good example, it doesn't take a ton of effort to do little things, but they can have a big impact. And giving in a little bit is not the answer. Who's it hurting is not the answer. Like, well, I know we're taught to do this, but does it really hurt if we just give a little bit? It does. It does. Not giving in and just standing firm on God's Word. That's it. That's the instruction. Standing firm on His Word. Not straying from it. Not trying to add or take away from it. It's a little thing to just say, that's the instruction. Should I do this? Does His Word tell me? If yes, then do. If it doesn't, then the answer is probably no. It's a little cloud. It's a small thing. But there is a huge impact. A massive impact. So, pray that as a people, as a country, in your households, that we can look at these examples. And this is just one of a myriad of examples that we see here in Elijah. But the beauty, the power of prayer, the power of small signs, of sending a dove out and it coming back with an olive branch. But it's a wonderful example. Pray to God. Keep that open line of communication going. He's not going to hang up on you. Don't hang up on Him. All right? Keep praying. And then don't take for granted those little blessings or the little impacts that each and every one of us have. Pure religion and undefiled. Visit the fatherless and the widow. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. You know what those are? Those are active things. Those are things that you do. That you put effort into. Pure religion and undefiled is not passive. It is active. Let's be actively engaged in the worship and the service of God Almighty. I appreciate your good attention. Pray for this brother as he comes to us.